Good morning, this is Ria Liu. It's that time again to raise your game. And Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting is back after a year.
Hello, Freda.
Happy New Year and welcome back.
Happy New Year to you.
And we've got a new series here called Finding Your Strengths, right? And today is about an affirmative approach to leadership development. But before we get into that as well, why have you decided on the series, Finding Your Strengths?
Well, Freda, finding your strengths is an antidote to a stress that most leaders face nowadays. Most leaders, we are bombarded with this philosophy saying that, hey, you can be anything you want to be if you just put your mind to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you have unlimited potential. You can be anything or anyone you want to be. To me, that is a false concept.
Setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, that's right. That's okay. Right.
So there, but know this, we always talk about, you got to be well-rounded and all these things. And even, we always encourage people to be well-rounded. Is there any truth to that?
Well, I think this thinking of being well-rounded, it starts young. I mean, if you take a look at it, parents are afraid that their children will lose out. So what do parents do? They send them for ballet, they send them for piano, they send them for music, speech and drama, taekwondo.
Just in case
they might miss out that genius gene, But what does it do? It causes unnecessary stress because we do not begin by helping the individual to have a strong sense of self-awareness.
Okay.
You know, I know of this particular chap who took up piano because the mother asked him to. And by the time he got his diploma, he brought his diploma to the mom and said, "Mom, here's the diploma that you wanted."
Your dreams have come true.
Your dreams have come true. He washed his hands. And you know what he did next, Freda? He took up guitar. So many of us go through life like that, We live up to the expectation of others. We force ourselves in so-called areas of improvement, but it's actually our weaknesses. And we end up not focusing on what we are wired to do, which is our strengths.
Okay.
And that is quite sad.
And actually, a lot of people will, try to fit into a mold or square peg into a round hole kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that actually demotivates us.
Yeah, that's right. So my focus in this series is to help our listeners to accept the fact that you cannot be anything you want to be, but you can be more of who you already are.
Okay. You know how in organizations as well, they talk about top talent and all that. So do corporations are guilty in a way?
I think corporations are starting to wake up to the fact that talent is something to be managed, because we all need to exercise leadership in three areas, Freda. And these are the three areas where we are limited in terms of its availability. The three areas are our time,
mm-hmm.
our money, and our talent.
Okay.
So you see, in companies, they would exercise leadership and come up with policies to manage time, to manage money, but many organizations are starting to realize that managing my employees' time and managing companies' profits is not sufficient. We need to be able to manage talent as well.
Right.
Meaning we need to be able to help our employees have a strong sense of belonging,
mm-hmm.
to feel that at work they have the opportunity to do what they do best every day.
Okay. Now, how do you define strengths then?
Well, strengths...
How is it different from talents and skills?
Well, talent is ways in which we most naturally think, feel, and behave. Talent is hardwired within us. An analogy is like this, Freda. Our talent is more or less like our genes. You know, we are genetically wired to have certain characteristics. I love to run, Freda, as you know, but I know I am not genetically wired like Mr. Bolt. But I am somewhat wired to do long distance.
Okay.
So what do? I focus on practicing towards participating in the marathon. Now, will anything happen if I just sit down and do nothing? No.
Right.
It starts with a realization that, hey, I am wired to run long distances, and that's where I'm going to focus my skill, my knowledge, and my hours of practice, and I don't waste time doing the 100 meters. you know, because that will be my weak spot. So I need to go to my sweet spot,
right?
Which is the marathon. So getting to know our talent is similar to that. We need to find out what we are wired towards. And once we have identified our talent, we put in the investment of time, skills, and knowledge, it becomes a strength.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, so talent, you've got to put the time and the skills, and then it becomes a strength. You know, I know you also do a lot of parenting talks as well.
Yeah.
Like with your children, what are their strengths?
Oh, that is quite interesting. In fact, I had two of my daughters last month to go through an assessment,
okay.
You know, that is done by Gallup called Strengths Finder. And once we have done their strengths and we kind of have a systematic assessment of what they are good at, you know, their eyes just light up.
Okay.
And I remember my daughter telling me, "Dad, this is me.
Mm-hmm.
This describes me." And when my wife and I take a look at that, and we realize that, hey, you know, we have been communicating with them in a way that is not productive in
right.
this area. We should channel the way we nurture them. We should send them to the right classes so that we begin to focus in their area of strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And in where areas where they are weak, for example, they might not be very good in certain sports. But Mrs. Wong next door is sending the son or daughter to the sports.
So you got to keep up with Mrs. Wong.
So I need to keep my eyes focused on my children's strength than on Mrs. Wong's children, you see. Because if I keep forcing my children to go the way of what Mrs. Wong goes, I mean, my apologies if there are listeners out there who are Mrs. Wong. I just use it as an example. So my humble apologies. But the thing is, I stress my children out, you see, because in the absence of helping my children to discover their strength, mm-hmm. the default mode is peer pressure
mm-hmm.
and flowing along with the crowd.
And I guess even with the two kids, they are different. Their strengths
are different.
Oh, yeah.
They are different. There are similarities, mm-hmm. but they are wired differently. And I find that, especially when they hit the teen years, that's when we need to engage with them to discover their strengths.
Okay.
You know, when I was growing up, unfortunately, not many people helped me discover my strengths.
We all have to find our own way.
Yeah, I went through the school of hard knocks. I do what my friend does. But I think right now, we have the opportunity to shortcut the process and minimize the hard knocks that our children
go
through.
So you're not blaming yourself for raising them the wrong way so far.
Well, I try my best not to repeat the mistakes.
Okay. And we'll discuss this again as well in this strengths and how managers should conduct the performance appraisal, because that's an important one. And that will be our discussion in just a moment with Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting. Racing Game, BFM 89.9.
Brilliant football manoeuvres on BFM 89.9.
It's Race to Game. Good morning. Frida Liu here, Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting in our Finding Your Strength series. And today's an affirmative approach to leadership development, and we were discussing our children and how, you know, identifying their strengths as well. And it's very interesting how you talked about what strengths are and what talents are.
Yeah.
So talents with the skills will then, working with the skills will give you this, will I help you identify what your strengths
yeah.
are.
Well, to put it in a mathematical formulation,
right.
Talent multiplied by investment of time and skill equals strengths.
Ah.
So you could have a very talented people, but if he sits on his behind all the time and doesn't take time to go for training and practice,
right.
it's not a strength. It is an innate strength.
Waiting.
It's waiting to
be
birthed. Yeah, but he's got a character issue.
You know, okay, now this is an important thing as well, as especially most companies who have done the appraisals or in the midst of doing the appraisal, like how we are at BFM. How then should a manager conduct the performance appraisal? Isn't focusing on weakness also better than flattering the subordinate on his strengths?
Well, Fred, a performance appraisal normally goes this way. You know, the boss would call the subordinate into the room and say that, okay, it's time for the performance appraisal. First, let's go through some of the things that you have done well. Let's quickly go through your positives so that we can spend more time on opportunities for improvement. And you know, Freda, opportunities of improvement, it's a nice sounding cliche that means let's talk about what you're not good at.
Right.
You know, let's have a discussion on your weaknesses. Now, there's nothing wrong with focusing on weaknesses. Let me just share with you some statistics. I mean, Gallup have interviewed millions of work teams, and this is what they discover in terms of engaging with your employees. Now, if in an appraisal process, the manager ignores you totally, the manager doesn't know what's going on, mm-hmm. the chances of you being disengaged in your job, you know, thinking yeah. about leaving and so on, is 40%.
Right.
It's 40%. But if you have a manager that focuses primarily on your weaknesses, telling you about areas of improvement, your chances of disengagement lowers down to 22%. 22%. But here's the sweetener. If your manager primarily focuses on your strengths, what you are wired to do, your chances of disengagement drop to 1%.
Wow.
1%. Now, meaning, if we have managers that spend more time to help employees to have the opportunity to do what they do best every day on the job, then you will create loyalty. Mm-hmm. You will create a sense of energy level of people wanting to come to work. You know, Freda, one very funny thing is whenever I do my corporate training classes, one of the main problems or complaints that I get from managers is this. It's these two alphabets, MCs. You know, people take leave. Some managers can even predict when their people will take MCs. I think the root cause of MC is not physical sickness.
Yeah.
The root cause of MC is this. People don't have the opportunity to do what they do best every day at work. So they don't feel like coming
to work.
Because they don't have an opportunity to exercise their strengths.
Okay, now here you're saying that if they actually focus on their strengths, you know, they are being engaged, you know, comes down to, you know, really good levels. But also at the same time, how do you address the issue attitude? Do you address the issue attitude, or is it because they have an attitude? You know, is chicken and egg situation. Did they get to that attitude because they were not given the opportunity to do work? Or sometimes you're very good at what you do, but your attitude stinks, right? Okay. What then?
Basically, Freda, a lot of the attitude issues at work is symptomatic of something deeper. And people have a lousy attitude at work. There could be various reasons. But managers need to realize that before they can issue the command, follow me, they must take that initiative to engage with the employees, because this is what the employees are saying, especially employees with lousy attitude. The employees are saying, boss, you got to know me. Know me first as an individual, then I will be motivated to follow you.
Right.
What is happening in the corporate scene is this. Managers are very conveniently outsourcing the responsibility of individual development to the training and HR department. Mm. Whenever there's an attitude problem, instead of sitting their employees down and say, can I get to know you better? Can I understand why this is happening? They very quickly and conveniently send them to the next team building program, send them to the next leadership training series, and they're basically not taking ownership of their employees' development. And and at the end of the day, they don't know them as an individual.
Okay, now, if everybody is focusing on their strengths, right? Because, you know, like, I think in work, there'll be some things that you're good at and some things that not really what you're good at, but it is part of the job specs, job description, right? So, this is, you know, it's not an ideal world where you still have to do everything, right? So, how do you address that as well?
Well, that's where leadership comes in, because there are no such thing as a well-rounded leader. No leader can encompass the whole skill set, okay? While it is true that there are no such thing as a well-rounded leader, but Freda, there is such a thing as a well-rounded team. There's such a thing as a well-rounded team. So this is where managers and leaders need to exercise leadership and effort. That means you need to form a team of people with complementary strengths.
Okay.
You see, you cannot just hire people based on seniority or based on just past experience alone, because sometimes past experience may not reflect the person's natural strengths.
Hmm.
That person could be just forcing himself in an area of weakness.
Okay.
You see, and be not flourishing. So the job of the manager is team selection.
Mm.
Very important.
And finding that right team, and not to, we've had a lot of interviews as well where people tend to just hire people like themselves. But then,
that's right.
And there's a big danger there.
Yeah, the danger is you begin to hire people who are compliant rather than people who are complementary.
Mm.
You know, in fact, one of the descriptions I like to use for a manager is that a manager must be secure enough to work with people who are smarter than you. You must have that inner security if people are smarter than you technically. That's okay.
Yeah.
Because my job is to make sure they are complementary skills.
Right. Okay, so how do you help your clients assess their strengths? And there's this strengths finder assessment which you did with your kids as well.
Yeah, that's right. What I do with clients is that basically I like to begin with the managers. Because the saying is true, Freda, people join companies but they leave managers.
Mm.
A subordinate's relationship with their direct supervisor, according to Gallup, after interviewing 1 million work teams, this is the conclusion they come to. Your relationship with your direct supervisor is the number one motivator whether you will stay on in an organization or not.
Wow.
So my approach to helping an organization is give me your managers.
Okay.
Give me your managers. I want to help them to look at their employees with a fresh pair of eyes, to look at your employees as individuals or people who are uniquely wired to contribute in various ways. Get to know them individually.
Right.
Then exercise leadership in placing them in the right job fit. Because if they have the opportunity to do what they do best every day,
managers or people seem to have a problem or a challenge connecting on a deeper level.
Yeah.
They just like to outsource it to HR.
That's
HR
right.
Then outsources it to a
That's
trainer.
Right. That's right.
So that seems to be the thing.
Because most managers get into their job with an attitude of being a commanding officer, you see. They move others to action by just focusing on their commanding authority. Now, that is not sufficient, because commanding authority gets people to do things, but it doesn't create loyalty.
To this day, it still happens, huh?
It still happens, unfortunately, because people who exercise commanding authority, if you think about it, are insecure.
Hmm.
They are afraid if their employees are better than them.
Ah.
They are afraid if their employees have certain strengths that seem to be better than theirs. And they fail to see the bigger picture, you
right.
see. But if the manager focus on your role as a coach, as a facilitator of relationships, of an active listener, hey, I would love to have people who are stronger than me in certain areas in the team because they complement me so well.
Mm.
And I don't have to stress myself out by doing so many things.
And they bring new things to the table, which I have a lot of blind spots.
Yeah.
And we all have blind spots.
Yeah, I mean, you talk to my wife, you realize that I have a lot of blind spots. So I guess, you know, the best teamwork in life, ladies and gentlemen, is marriage. Then
now
you will find your strengths.
Okay, and just hope your weaknesses are not magnified.
Well,
now,
my wife makes up for it. So.
Now, if an organization desires to have a strengths-based culture, what are the main steps to take?
Well, the main steps to take is that you need to have a complete overhaul of your performance appraisal approach.
Okay.
Yeah, because most of the performance appraisal sessions in organizations nowadays are very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Employees are just going through the motions. It's hardly a development program. It has become a session where the managers just unloads on the employee and tell them what they have done wrong. And employees walk away feeling more dejected than motivated. So the whole performance appraisal session, it's very deflatory in nature. It doesn't encourage at all. Because why? Managers go in not wanting to know their employees as an individual. To them, they are just, you know, another dot on the organization chart.
Mm.
And that is sad.
Yeah.
You know, and that is sad.
Okay, so to do a complete overhaul of the assessment style, and you're saying that also with this book that you're using, Tom Rath, he's written this book called StrengthsFinder. Right?
Yeah. StrengthsFinder. So I'm working together with Gallup to provide coaching for managers to help them to use this assessment, which I'll probably talk a little bit more in the following sessions. What this does is to help individual identify their talent teams. There's a set of 34 talent teams. It provides a language of self-discovery that managers and subordinates could use. Mm-hmm. And when we begin to use this language of self-discovery, then we are a step closer to find out how we are naturally wired. Then we can begin to talk about job fit,
right,
project assignment, and career development. Because project assignment, career development, and job fit cannot start with the company. It must start with the individual. And when the individual know that they are properly paid attention to, then they will be willing to comply with the company vision.
All right. And speaking of job fit, next week, our discussion is what? Job promotion.
That's right. We're going to talk about job promotion because many people think that the only way to grow is to go up the corporate ladder. I'd like to be able to relieve your stress by telling you there are other directions besides going up.
Okay, so that's very good. So that's going to be next week with Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting. Tomorrow's Raise Your Game, Ripun from Power Up Success, and it's a poem of successful salespeople. And tomorrow is Planning Your Sales Strategy, BFM 89.9.